Can we read first in 1 Kings chapter 8? First book of Kings chapter 8 and verse 46. If they have sinned against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not. Isaiah chapter 59. Behold, Jehovah's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he doth not hear. And finally, Romans chapter 3 and verse 21. But now, without law, righteousness of God is manifested, borne witness to by the law and the prophets, righteousness of God by faith of Jesus Christ towards all and upon all those who believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption, which is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth a mercy seat through faith in his blood. These scriptures deal with the position that each one of us has before God as sinners, every one of us. There are no exceptions to this. The consequences of that sin, what has happened, it has removed us from God. It has separated us from God. And then finally, God's response to that separation and his desire that these creatures should be recovered, should be reconciled and brought back, and how he has provided the way that that may be so. And so Solomon here makes a very interesting comment, which of course is backed up in various scriptures, that there is no man that sinneth not. There are no exceptions to this rule. And the reason for that is that Adam sinned and disobeyed God in the garden. And Adam's seed was passed on down the generations to every man and every woman, every child, right down to our day. And it's still the case. It's not long before the innocency of a baby is lost through the exercise of self-will. And so the sinful seed comes to light. And so there are no exceptions. Isaiah 53 says, all we, like sheep, have gone astray. Every single one of us. And the question is as to whether we accept that. As to whether we accept God's judgment. It's the truth, whether we accept it or not. But this first step in blessing is to accept what we are before God. And then we find, we don't find a God who's angry at us. We find a God who wants to bless us and has a righteous basis to do so through the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we're all sinners. The scripture in Romans reinforces that we've all come short of the glory of God. There was only one man who was never a sinner. John said of the Lord that in him sin was not. The only man ever in the annals of time who never sinned, who was perfect. And it's only through faith in the precious shed blood of Jesus that we could ever come into blessing. Peter says, you know, you have not been redeemed by corruptible things, but by such as silver or gold, but by precious blood, as of a lamb without spot and without blemish. You know, the children of Israel, when they were told to take a lamb the night that the angel went through the Egypt to kill the firstborn, they were told to take a lamb without blemish. That lamb signified what Christ meant to God in that pathway of such delight, a life like no other life, the life of Jesus, We talked about it in the reading, the way he spoke, the way he moved, the way he acted, so different from every other life, you know. But the life of Christ is not what saves me. I might admire that life, but I could never live that life because I'm sinful. But thank God that that life was laid down in death for me. What was it, blessed God, led thee to give thy Son? 'Twas love unbounded, love for me. Think of that. Think of a God who loves you personally, who knows you personally and loves you and wants to bless you despite the fact that you are a sinner. And you have to address what the prophet says in Isaiah 59. That God's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. The difficulty is not on God's side. It's on your side. Because your sins have brought in distance between you and your God. His ear is not heavy that it cannot hear. Think of the Lord moving through Jericho and hearing the voice of a blind beggar. Son of David, have mercy on me. His ear is not heavy that it cannot hear. But oh, if there's repentance in the heart, he's ready to hear. He's ready to respond. He's ready to come in and bless the sinner who accepts his place before a holy and righteous God. You know, this separation is an important thing, you know. It came in right at the start, didn't it? That Adam was driven out of the Garden of Eden. Why? Because he could not be in the place where God frequented with sin upon him. God cannot have sin in his presence. There's no way into the presence of God for any sin. God has gone to extraordinary lengths in order that your sin might be dealt with and that you might be free from the burden of sin because it was all borne by Jesus. Again, in Isaiah 53, Jehovah hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. That's what Jesus did at Calvary's cross. That's why he came. He came here to give effect to the counsels of God, of a God who loves you and desired to bless you, but had no righteous basis to do so. You know, we think of God as someone who can do anything and do everything, but there are certain things that God can't do, and that is that he can't save you unless you come by way of repentance. That is a simple fact. God cannot do that because though he is a God of love, he is a righteous and a holy God, and he cannot act outside of his holiness and his righteousness. So the hymn writer said God could not pass the sinner by. He couldn't pass. He couldn't sweep your sins and my sins under the carpet. Justice demands that he should die. God must judge sin. He must judge it. But in the cross of Christ we see how God can save, yet righteous be. You know, that's what happened at the cross, that righteousness and peace kiss one another. There, my Saviour offered himself as the holy, spotless victim, the holy Lamb of God, who was able, morally able, to take on my liability. The sins that I had committed were heaped upon my Saviour, and the sins of your sins could be met as well if you'll but trust him. So it's towards all. The gospel is towards all tonight, but it's only upon all who believe. In other words, you cannot come into blessing unless you believe, unless you accept Christ as a Saviour. So this separation, you know, actual death is a separation from the soul, from the body. But moral death is a separation of the soul from God. And that is a very serious matter. And that is where you stand tonight as a sinner if you don't know Christ as your Saviour. And you have to address this problem. If you don't address it, you'll end up like the man in Luke 16. If you read Luke 16, you'll find a man who lived his life without any thought of God. And when he died, he woke up in hell. And he was aware of where he was. And he was aware of a great separation, a great chasm fixed. There was no crossing over. There was no possibility after he died for any blessing to come in. Abraham told them that the thing is fixed and you cannot cross over. You can come over. The distance, the separation can be removed tonight if you accept Christ as a Savior. But if you die tonight, there's no way that separation can ever be reversed. Moral death is the separation from the soul from God. Dear friend, if you're not a believer, as you sit in your seat, can I urge you to accept Christ as your Savior before it's too late, before things become fixed and there's no further opportunity? What's God's response? Well, he's provided a Savior, whom God has set forth a mercy seat through faith in his blood. You know, the mercy seat sat on top of the ark. That's where it sat. And the cherubim, who were mentioned in the Garden of Eden as guarding the way to the tree of life, that's what the cherubim did there. But you know, when it came to the ark, the cherubim were on both sides of the mercy seat, and they were looking down on the mercy seat, and the blood was placed on the mercy seat. That is, that the rights and holiness of God have been upheld by the shedding of the blood of Christ. And you know, that's a wonderful thing, that God has set forth Christ as a mercy seat. And so the acceptance that we're all sinners, that we need a Savior, just like that man, Bartimaeus, that blind man, he knew exactly what his problem was. He knew the Lord Jesus could meet his problem. He cried out to him. He wouldn't let the Savior pass. Jesus would never come back that way again. He would never have another opportunity. Maybe you won't have another opportunity. Maybe this will be the last gospel preaching in this hall. Today is a day of salvation. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Think of the voice of Jesus appealing in the glad tidings tonight. You know that wonderful word at the end of Matthew 11? Come to me, all ye who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest. That is as current tonight as it was when the Lord said these words. Rest and peace and joy are not to be found in the world. They're only to be found in Christ. And the invitation goes out from the throne tonight to come to Jesus. Will you respond to the invitation and the glad tidings? You know, your response will be recorded in heaven. I think that's very sobering. That on the 29th, or is it the 28th? of September 2025, you sat in a gospel preaching in Aberdeen, however feebly presented, and you heard Christ offered as a Savior. That is sufficient for you to be placed in a Christless eternity. These are sobering facts. We're not here to preach judgment, but the matter of your separation from a holy and righteous God has to be addressed. May it be addressed tonight. My Savior gave his life, gave everything for me. He took on my liability. He went into death to remove the order of manhood to which I belonged from the sight of God forever. He came out of death in a new condition. Yes, still a glorious man, but in a new condition. He's alive to die no more. He's coming for all who love him. If he comes tonight, the door will be shut and there'll be no more gospel preachings. That's why it's so urgent that we respond to the glad tidings, to the word that is offered, to the Savior that is offered tonight, through faith in his blood. Paul said to the Ephesians, you who were once afar off, that's the Gentiles, that's non-Jews like you and I, who had no claim on anything, are far off, have been brought nigh by the blood of Christ. There's no other way of salvation, no other hope. It's a sobering thing that I've said it before and said it often. If you reject what God is offering in the glad tidings, you reject your only hope of salvation. These are sobering matters. These are eternal matters. Decisions made in time affect eternity. Decide for Christ tonight, for his name's sake.